Good morning. We are welcoming all of our KGNU listeners on our monthly program with the Community Foundation of Bola County. I'm Jim Williams, your host, and I'm a former trustee of the Community Foundation. This month, I'm joined in studio by Nate Breckert, who is the executive director for Coal Creek Meals on Wheels, and Susan Caskey from Human Resources for the Boulder County.
Human Services.
Human Services.
Yes. Yes.
For Boulder County. Yes. We're going to be talking today about food security in our community and the supports available to help increase access to healthy, nutritious food in Boulder County. Food security, something that I probably am guilty of taking for granted. But so, Susan, let's start out and you tell us, what is food security?
Thanks so much for having me today. So the way we think about food security is that there's going to be available, affordable access to healthy and nutritious food. So I know it's kind of a term that I think can be confusing.
Yes.
But it's simple for us. It means that, you know, again, that people can easily access healthy food for themselves and their families.
It is something that people take for granted, isn't it?
I would agree. Yeah, I think that for a lot of us, we don't think about that when we run to the store and can pick up whatever we need to pick up, that we have a full refrigerator of food, that we're able to have whatever meal at any time that we want. We often forget that there are people who don't have that type of access or the resources to get the food they need for themselves and their families.
Mm-hmm. So the first question is, part of the county's work is to provide food assistance to qualifying community members. So can you talk with us a bit about the programs you run and how they work?
Sure. So the county administers several different food programs. What Human Services administers is what we call the SNAP program. That's the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. And we serve close to about 28,000 people, community members in Boulder County, in a 12-month period. The way that works is we have amazing eligibility technicians or staff that help determine eligibility for community members. Once a community member is eligible, they will get some funding put on an electronic benefits transfer card or EBT card, and then they're able to go to any food vendor or grocery store and purchase food. So that's one of the main programs. That's a federally funded program that we have here that brings millions of dollars into our economy every month. We have about, over 12 months, we have about $42 million that come in SNAP benefits. The county and mainly public health also runs some programs that are really supplemental to SNAP. And what we know is that SNAP is not a lot of money for families. It's not the word supplemental is important. And so the public health has several programs that they run to ensure that people can supplement SNAP. And they're really focused on getting fresh fruit and vegetables, produce to families. They have a fruit and veg program. They have a double up food bucks program. So those are some other programs that are run through our public health program. In addition, they also run the Women, Infants, and Children's program, which provides nutritious meals for pregnant mothers and children as well.
So who's eligible for SNAP, and how does that eligibility get established or decided?
Right.
The SNAP has been in the news lately, particularly in terms of, well, I guess, reductions in support for SNAP. Or is that correct? Are we still hearing about reduced SNAP?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. There So there's a couple things happening with SNAP. There is the new legislation that passed on July 1st of 2025 from the federal government that is instituting new work requirements for people who are currently eligible for SNAP. And so we anticipate there will be close to a third of the people in Boulder County who will be impacted by these new work requirements.
Oh, my.
A lot of people will be impacted. So we're working very hard on trying to build in supports for people to ensure that they can meet those new work requirements that are coming from the federal government. Right now, the eligibility to be eligible for SNAP, you must live in Colorado, be a U.S. citizen or lawful permanent resident. You do need to be able to show some type of identification. And then there's income guidelines as well. So as an example for that, a household of three would have a monthly gross income of around $3,000 to be eligible for SNAP. And then there's the application and recertification process. So one of the things that changed with this new federal legislation is that we have to start recertifying people who are on SNAP every 6 months. So it is more effort for people to come in and, you know, have to be recertified. There's more burden on them, more burden on the system, our staff to be able to do that. So that's one of the new requirements. That all took effect November 1st. So residents can, or community members can of Boulder County can apply for SNAP through Colorado Peak, which is the application system that Colorado uses. And you can find that on our Human Services website, the link for that. And they can also submit a paper application to any of our offices, Lafayette, Longmont, or Boulder. And then once they apply, our eligibility technicians review all of that paperwork and they set up an either in-person or a phone call just to go through some of the information, make sure we have everything. We don't want to delay people getting those benefits, so we just want to make sure we have everything. And then once they're eligible, they'll get that funding put on their EBT card.
Okay, well, Nate, tell us about Meals on Wheels. Do you have a specific mission that's associated with food security?
Yeah, we do. And thank you so much for having us to talk about the work that we do. So Coal Creek Meals on Wheels, we serve our neighbors in Lafayette, Louisville, Erie, and Superior, so East Boulder County. And our mission is to really twofold. It's to provide nutritious meals, but really more than that, to use nutritious meals as a vehicle to provide folks connection and community. You know, one thing that we know about folks who are aging, the majority of our population that we serve is over the age of 60. However, that's not our entire clientele. In fact, our fastest growing clientele right now is folks who are under the age of 30, who we do serve meals to as well. And so our mission is to ensure that anybody who's in need of a meal, regardless of their mobility, regardless of their financial status, is able to have a meal and for their family to have a meal. We believe that it's crucial for anybody to be able to age in place or to be able to stay in their home regardless of whatever challenges they may be facing, as long as it's safe for them to do so. Mm-hmm. We have really three main programs that we offer at Coal Creek Meals on Wheels to our community. The first is our traditional delivery meal, where Monday through Friday we deliver hot meals for folks in need. The second program is our Project Homecoming program, which provides five free meals for anyone who has recently been discharged from the hospital, because we know that in that transition from the hospital back to the home, it can be challenging for folks to provide meals to themselves. And then finally, we have a pet food program. And so we also deliver pet food to folks who need support with their dog or cat's companions. And actually, the reason that that program started was because we became aware of the fact that folks were sharing the meals that we were delivering to them with their pets, because they didn't have the ability to provide food for their pets. And so that's how that got started.
How do you advertise that part of the program?
You know, most of our referrals for both the pet program and for our regular programs that we provide to our neighbors really comes through referrals. So partnerships with Boulder County Human Services, for example, some of our healthcare provider partners, some other folks. We don't really do much marketing to our neighbors. It's mostly through referrals we have through other programs. And so it usually just comes up. We do an intake process, not unsimilar to the intake process that Susan was just talking about with our folks. And one of the questions we ask them is, do you have a pet, and are you able to provide food for that pet, or is that a resource you would like to learn more about? And so if folks qualify for that service, that's a service that they can access.
It's great. It's terrific.
Yeah. I mean, we know that one of the reasons that folks are challenged to age in place is because of loneliness. You know, loneliness is something that we don't talk about enough as a real contributor to public health and to folks' general health. Mm-hmm. And so having that companionship with a dog or a cat can be really important in supporting our mission to help folks age in place.
Yes. I want to take a few minutes to thank our listeners for tuning in to KGNU's A Public Affair with the Community Foundation. Let me go back and talk to you about your mission and how you serve the community. One of the first questions that I have is, who makes up your staff? Because do you have a staff of chefs? I mean, How does this work?
Yeah, we do. So I have a staff of 11, 9 full-time, and some of that is made up of, we have a full-time executive chef, and then we have two other folks who work full-time in the kitchen. But to your point about volunteers are still the backbone of the work that we do. So we engage with about 300 volunteers a year who support our work in some way or another. The vast majority of those are drivers, like you mentioned, but we do have folks who volunteer in our kitchen Monday through Friday. We also operate a cafe in Lafayette, so we serve as the City of Lafayette Senior Nutrition Program.
Oh.
And we operate a cafe there, and that cafe is staffed primarily through volunteers who work as servers or other roles you think of in a cafe. And so, yes, we wouldn't be able to do the work that we do without volunteers. There was a day, Coal Creek Meals on Wheels was founded in 1972. And for many, many years, our existence was only made possible because of volunteers. So though we have grown and we are fortunate to have a rather large full-time staff, we still couldn't do the work that we do without the amazing volunteers who deliver meals, you know, sometimes literally through feet of snow, to make sure that folks are able to stay fed. And like I mentioned at the beginning, our volunteers do so much more than deliver those meals. They really provide connection and a check-in point to the folks that we serve every single day. Just today, actually, we had a volunteer who made us aware of a client who they thought were in distress, and we were able to support making sure that client was okay and got the medical attention that they required. So we have volunteers who end up shoveling our neighbor's snow in the winter to ensure that they can get to doctor's appointments or whatever they may need. So fortunate to have a staff, but couldn't do the work that we do without our volunteers, and so incredibly grateful for them.
Certainly. I meant to ask Susan, do you actually collaborate with food banks or other resource centers?
Yeah, so we have a long history of collaboration with nonprofit partners and the kind of the social safety net. And what I mean by that is just partners who are providing affordable housing, healthcare, food, childcare to community members. And we partner in a few primary ways. We have a family resource network that has 20 partners that is really looking at how do we deepen integration and coordination across the social safety net, and that includes government and nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
When we have more urgent needs, so sometimes that's around like the Marshall Fire or around the government shutdown, we will have more frequent meetings. And so more recently, when the government shut down and we were really worried about SNAP, we pulled multiple partners together, food banks, Community Foundation was part of that conversation as well, to come together and really understand what the needs were, what they were seeing, We also provide funding for partners. So Human Services, for example, provides just about $8 million out to social safety net organizations every year. And so we're in partnership with them and trying to understand the needs around that. And then we also hold a community partner call quarterly where we're able to provide updates on local, state, and federal updates, anything that might be going on that might impact that social safety net. And then partners, nonprofit partners, are able to provide us information as well around needs.
Is there a need for Meals on Wheels to collaborate with other community resources? How does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there is. And we have many partner organizations that either support us monetarily, Boulder County Human Services being one of them, or who we just act and support with. You know, when we think of some of our partner organizations like Community Food Share, for example, which is right down the street from us in Louisville, Sister mm-hmm. Carmen, which is also right down the street from us in Lafayette, what we'll find is that we're oftentimes serving a lot of the same neighbors because their resources that we provide is a little bit different than the resources that they provide. And so mm-hmm. they become critical partners in us when we really think about ensuring that the neighbors that we're serving are getting all of their needs met. You know, at Coal Creek Meals on Wheels, we can certainly provide a hot, nutritious meal and provide that connection, but we're not able to provide all of the support and all of the social safety net programs that Susan talked about on our own. But what we can do is ensure that we are educated in what other partner organizations are in our community that are serving our neighbors that we can connect our partners and our neighbors to. One thing that is a little bit unique about the work that we do is because the majority of the folks that we serve are homebound for one reason or another, we are oftentimes the only interactions that those folks are having with other humans in a day-to-day basis. And so we can spot, and our volunteers are trained to spot needs that some of our clients may be facing in their home, bring those back to us, and then we can reach out to some of our partner organizations to see if they're able to support. So we have huge open lines of communication with those partner organizations, and frankly, we wouldn't be able to serve our neighbors without them. Mm-hmm. The food that we cook in our kitchen, about 20% of that is given to us through a partnership with Community Food Share, for example. So not only is there a sharing of ideas and kind of a network of collaboration around how we support our neighbors in need, but there's certainly also sometimes a monetary partnership with some of our partners, and also just a partnership in figuring out how we best meet the needs of our neighbors on a daily basis.
What would you and Susan say is going on in terms of need for food? What's happening in our community?
We know that food insecurity, especially over the last 2 years, or at least what we're seeing over the last 3 years now at Coal Creek Meals on Wheels, has almost doubled as far as our meals out the door. So we serve, for comparison, in 2022, we served 40,000 meals a year. This year in 2025, we're going to serve over 80,000 meals. So we've doubled in 3 years. Where we saw a huge increase was in March of 2023, when I don't have to tell you, was when COVID era SNAP benefits that were extended went back to pre-pandemic levels. We doubled in 2 months when that happened. And a big part of that was because folks had become
doubled.
Yeah, in 2 months. And folks had become so dependent, rightfully so, on those extended SNAP benefits. And I think that those were really meeting the needs of our community. And I think that really before those were extended, I'm not sure we actually knew exactly what the need was. And so we're seeing an increased need every year, and really month over month, our numbers are increasing. And that's with, like I said earlier, doing very little marketing for our work, right? That's just through referral partners who we're confident are pointing us to folks that are really in need of our services.
Anything you want to add, Susan?
Sure. So related to SNAP, we have just over 19,000 people on SNAP, each month. And then, as I mentioned before, over a 12-month period, we'll have close to 28,000 people. That ends up being about, close to 9% of our community in Boulder County. So the need is great. What we heard from the Community Food Share more recently when the government shut down was they did a survey of multiple food banks and learned that about 2/3 of the people visiting food banks were there because of the shutdown and not receiving SNAP benefits. about a third of the people who were there because they had lost their jobs or were furloughed from the federal government. So again, you know, what Nate said as far as the pandemic, we have continued just to see an increased need since 2020. And what we see and hear from the Social Safety Net partners, our nonprofit partners, is that the need just continues to increase. So I think for some folks who think, okay, the government shutdown is over, everything is fine, what we're moving into, as I said before, is this HR1 or the federal legislation on work requirements, which will result in a lot of people losing their SNAP benefits.
The last thing I would say or ask is there anything you want to share with us about the challenges that you're facing every day?
I think for SNAP, I think it's the continued changes in policy and federal legislation. It's caused a lot of confusion for people. What we saw when the government shut down is we saw a dip in people applying for SNAP. And what we want to our key message is to let people know or ask people to continue to apply. That's really important. And people can go to our website and find a link to apply on PEAK. The other piece that I want to just share is, you know, I mentioned this a little bit before, is I think that there sometimes when a crisis ends, people think everything is okay. And my hope is that for our community that people can understand that we really are in a bit of a crisis with multiple things happening. There's a lack of affordable housing. There's a lack of affordable childcare. Health insurance is really going to become less affordable for a lot of people. There is food insecurity. So really encourage anybody in our community to be able to support our nonprofit social safety net partners in any way that they can. I think that's going to be critically important, especially going into the next couple of years.
Anything else, Nate?
Yeah, I kind of want to echo, especially what Susan said at the end. Well, you know, absolutely, it's giving season. And so we do encourage folks to go to our website at coalcreekmow.org and learn more about how they're able to get involved, whether that's monetarily or through volunteering. So thank you for that. And the other thing that I would say that I also want to echo is I do think that sometimes we can be guilty of engaging in what I call reactive philanthropy. And that's where we become more generous as donors or partners, as I call it, when we see a crisis. And when things are in the news, like the government shutdown or other things, we become aware temporarily of the need that's out there. But we wouldn't be talking about SNAP being paused and how problematic that was for our community if there weren't so many people in need in that community in the first place. And so I think that we just can't lose sight of that as a community, that please continue to engage in your community, and if you're able to help organizations that you believe in all the time, not just when there's a crisis, not just when it's in the news, because the need will always be there. And I couldn't agree more that there's such an affordability crisis in this community, and frankly, I think that at least for the short-term future, we don't really see that getting any better. And so what we're really worried about, and I think I speak for many of our community nonprofits, not just Meals on Wheels, is that as our need continues to rise, our revenue is going to have to rise at a pretty similar rate. Otherwise, we're going to have a problem. And so just I hope that your listeners are aware of that and are continuing to engage in the community in the best way they can.
Well, thank you both for taking the time to share with our listeners the importance of your work and how that work gets done. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. We'll be back with you on December 22nd. Stay tuned, everyone, and stay well.